How did life begin? Are we alone in the universe? How will it all end? In his new book, Cosmic Queries, Star Talk's Guide to Who We Are, How We Got Here, and Where We're Going, world-renowned astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson breaks down challenging philosophical conundrums, as he always does, with wit, wisdom, and cutting-edge science. Neil is an astrophysicist in the Frederick P. Rose, director at the Hayden Planetarium at New York's American Museum of Natural History. He is a great friend to this program, as well as being the host of Star Talk, a podcast, and two seasons of Cosmos. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Neil deGrasse Tyson back to the roundtable. How are you, sir?
Thanks for having me back. Yeah, and what a warm introduction that was. Now I have to live up to that for the rest of the
You'll live up to it. You always do. Well, so first of all, tell us about Star Talk, how this got, came about, and ultimately how this guide came about out of that particular project.
Yeah, thanks for asking. So Star Talk, it's a podcast. It's had various media incarnations. It spent time in terrestrial radio, satellite radio. It was even a TV show for 3 years. But the Star Talk is it's an idea about how to bring science to the public. And the traditional model was, you know, a journalist has a scientist visiting every week. And Science Friday does that brilliantly, as right. Your listeners probably already know. But what I found was that if you tune into that program, you probably already know you like science. And so what about the people who don't know they like science? The show wouldn't ever even be on their radar. And worse yet, how about the people who know they don't like science? Who's ever going to bring science to them? So I thought maybe we can readjust this turning wheel and make me the host. I'm the scientist, and my guests are people hewn from pop culture. And the conversation is an exploration of all the ways that science manifests in the livelihood of that person. And I have as a co-host a professional comedian who brings a force of levity to the exchanges, and the content is a force of gravity. And the two, you know, balanced out make for a consistently delivered program. Well, so basically it's the trinity of pop culture, humor, and science. That is the DNA strands, the three strands of DNA for Star Talk. So it turned out one of the formats that we had experimented with turned out to be immensely successful. Well, it's just called Cosmic Queries, where we poll our fan base for what are the latest questions that are bugging them, irking them, and they send them in through Facebook, through Twitter, through other sort of social media channels, and we answer them. If they fall outside of my expertise, we bring in another person, but it's people love it because for a change, the experts are responding to your curiosity, so you become a participant on that frontier of inquiry, and it became so popular. And some of the questions don't lend themselves to an easy podcast, like what is the meaning of life or how will it all end. That we said let's collect those and put it into a book. So this is a book that has the DNA strands of Star Talk. And it's called Cosmic Queries, the book.
So the subtitle, as I mentioned, the guide to who we are, how we got here, and where we're going. You know, that is fascinating to me that we're still asking those questions. Did I lose Neil?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. No, you're good. Go ahead, Neil. I'm sorry. That fascinates me that we're still, after all this time, billions of years, that we're still trying to figure that all out.
Yeah, because the answers aren't just sitting there in a pre-written book, right? The book of nature has no pages in it. The book of nature you're reading nature as nature expresses itself to you and as it succumbs to your methods and tools of science. And sometimes aspects of nature are hidden. Sometimes you're not clever enough. None of us are clever enough to even ask the right questions. Cosmic Queries is a celebration of not only questions that have answers, but questions where the answers might not be complete yet, or even questions that might not even be the right questions. Are we smart enough to know what questions to ask? Well, you know, who's asking that question?
Well, so
it's a meta thing.
Well, no, so that brings up a point. I mean, I feel you may demur on this, but I feel that you're brilliant. So, what questions do you like? When do you feel dumb when you're talking about this stuff? Because that's what worries me.
Okay, I don't think about it that way.
Okay,
I think about it. No, I'll tell you, it's not just to cite. For my own ego, for me to feel good. As a scientist, you learn to love the questions themselves. And as a scientist, you are drawn to any place where we have the greatest dose of ignorance manifest on the frontier. So this concept of feeling dumb, if there's a day I don't feel dumb, I'm not on the frontier, and I might as well no longer be a scientist.
Right.
So that's why the way you pose that question didn't quite get to the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter is I'm at the drawing board. I feel stupefied, dumbfounded every single day. And it means sometimes you don't do, you know, you make a mistake. You go down an alley that's not fruitful for your questions. And there's an old saying in my field, if the day you stop making mistakes is the evidence that you are no longer on the frontier, because the frontier is where you are sort of reaching into the dark and trying to illuminate it with what you know to make discoveries of what you don't know. And that's a challenge. And this book is a celebration of that whole spectrum of questioning that has preoccupied people who are filled with curiosity and wonder in their lives.
That idea of curiosity and wonder, and you said a moment ago, you know, do we even know what the question is that we should be asking? Are we smart enough to have the right questions? And I guess that's what I'm trying to get to the root to. If we, for you as a scientist and scientists in general, that grapple in this, that grapple with this every day, It is unending in the sense, right? I mean, we have answers, but then there's more questions and then more answers and then more questions and then more answers.
Yes, very perceptive of you. So it didn't have to be this way, but it is. Every next thing we discover enables you to stand in a new place and see a little farther than you saw before. And by seeing farther, you now are in a position to pose questions undreamt of for not having stood there before.
Yeah.
And so when people say, what one question that I want answered in my life? No, it's not even about that. It's what question do I not yet know to ask? Because to ask it will require discoveries that have yet to unfold. Those are the questions that keep me awake at night.
Is it fair to ask when you have something like what we are doing in our investigation on the planet Mars, that only, yes, we find something, we investigate, we explore, but we also open this box of a billion more questions?
Yeah, I mean, the poetic way to say that is, as the area of our knowledge grows, so too does the perimeter of our ignorance.
Well, that is poetic.
So, yeah, and so when you, I just tweeted that 2 days ago.
Oh, so very nice. Okay,
it's fresh in my head.
It's damn good. Yeah,
and so you, every next mission to Mars is more ambitious than the previous one, because the previous one enabled us not only scientifically but technologically. Once the landing mechanisms work and all of that works, now that I know that works, the next mission, I'm going to ask a different question. I'm going to build on the question that I asked before, because now I know that what I thought was there isn't, or what I thought isn't there is. And so that'll empower me to adjust the next round of experiments that clad the next rover. And this is so, yes, it's never ending. And that's a good thing. It means scientists will always have work.
That's good. Yes. Job security. Nothing wrong with that.
Job security. But let me just say, there are things that are completely known. Okay. For example, We are not going to improve on the four-wheel transportation device, okay? No one is going to say, wait a minute, guys, if I add a fifth wheel, this is going to make it all better. Or if I take away a wheel and we do three, that's... No, we're sort of at a design maximum stage of four wheels on a vehicle.
Right.
Okay? And, of course, the Flintstones had two cylinders.
Right.
If you remember.
Well, and their feet.
Their cars. Yeah, the two rock cylinders. But that would be very bumpy. Bumpier than having than separating that support into four wheels. So there are things that are perfectly known. That's a very simple case. And so, yes, it would close up and stitch closed previous mysteries you may have had. But anytime I hear someone say, I don't like science because it just makes the mysteries that I had, it takes the fun out of the mysteries. I'm saying, are you serious? Do you realize how much ignorance we are still steeped in, and yeah, how much mystery and wonder still exists? I just don't need you to wonder how the rainbow got there, okay? We got that. It reminds me, I don't know how long you've been surfing the internet, but was it 10 years ago? There was the rainbow guy on YouTube.
Yeah.
This is a guy hiking wherever he was, in the Sierra Nevadas or whatever. He's hiking, and he turns a corner, and he sees a double rainbow.
And he freaks out.
And he can't contain his emotions.
Right.
And it starts out sort of mild. Oh, a double rainbow. Oh, my God. Oh, it's so beautiful. Oh. And you hear this, and it's like live accounting of his experience. And then he talks about God. He talks, and I'm saying, okay, this whole video exists because he hasn't had physics yet. So he doesn't understand the double rainbow. By the way, every rainbow is a double rainbow. It's just how bright is it bright enough to see? So do I go to him and say, look, dude, I don't care if you believe in God, but you don't have to appeal to God for this double rainbow to have existed, okay?
Yeah.
It's just optics. All right. And so does that destroy his moment? Do I have the right to do that to him? But I think so, out of respect for the human intellect. You should know what it is we do understand, because there's plenty that we don't. And if you want to be mysterious, you want to keep your wonder and mystery, I'll tell you stuff we don't understand. We don't know what was around before the Big Bang, or how organic molecules self-assembled into the earliest life. We don't really know how the universe ends. We have a dozen scenarios. I can go on and on and on. So don't think to yourself that I'm somehow destroying your wonder. The wonder has just moved to another place.
So how do things
physically
change?
And intellectually.
Yeah. So how does it change? This will be my last question for you, but because we're running out of time. But, you know, it says it right on the jacket of the book. What is life? How did it all begin? How will it end? Well, if we knew how it ended, that sort of takes the fun out of it, doesn't it?
Yeah. So what I should have said is, but we got to be pithy on the cover. So it would have said, and the dozen ways we think the world's and the universe will end.
Yeah.
And then you'll read, why are there that many? How come it's not just one? What are the remaining uncertainties and why? And we can debate them. When you don't know anything for sure, that leaves room for barroom debates, right? And so for me, I look forward to the day where someone walks into the bar with that book and they stop talking about the politics and the sports, and they start arguing about the multiverse and whether they have counterparts there. We spend a lot of time on the multiverse in the book.
Well, the book is fascinating, and it is so, so cool. It's Cosmic Queries, Star Talk's Guide to Who We Are, How We Got Here, and Where We're Going. The book is published, appropriately enough, by National Geographic. Neil deGrasse Tyson, I thank you so much for being with us. Damn, you're entertaining. Thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. And by the way, I'm just channeling the universe. So if you think I'm entertaining, you should look at the universe.
Well, you're a very good channeler, and I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'll accept that as the compliment.
There you go. Neil deGrasse Tyson is the author of Cosmic Queries. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.